Reading this morning is taken from Luke chapter 5, reading from verses 1 to 11. Luke chapter 5, which you'll find towards the beginning of the New Testament part of the Bible if you want to follow it. One day, as Jesus was standing by the Lake of Gennesaret, with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boats to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything and followed him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Nick. Father, we do thank you that Nick's here with us this morning, and thank you for the preparation that he has done for this service. And we pray that as he speaks, you will bless him and you will use the words he speaks to touch the hearts of each one of us so that we draw closer to you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless. Thank you.
Now, I've got a confession to make right from the start, and that is that I've had a sore throat for the last couple of days. So if my voice starts going a bit and you can't hear me properly, just wave, okay? And I shall try and speak up. But actually, I've been praying that you don't hear me at all, because I'm praying that God will speak through me, so you'll hear the Lord and not me. Ah, right, we're on. Now, I want you to picture what's happening in this story. Jesus is teaching a crowd of people around the Sea of Galilee, or Lake Gennesaret. Earlier in the Gospel, we hear of Jesus teaching in the synagogues, but now he's gone out into the countryside. He's taken the message from the established places of worship, he's taking it out to the people where they are. That's the first message from this. So he's out in the countryside and people are crowding around him. Why? Why is this rabbi who's been teaching in the synagogues and now is out in the countryside being crowded around by people? Well, again, if you read earlier in the Gospels, you hear that he not only teaches with authority, but signs and wonders follow him. He heals the sick. He drives out demons. Here is someone special, and people can see that. And so they're crowding around. They want more and more of him. And so he comes to the side of the lake, the side of the Sea of Galilee. And he thinks, "I can't speak to these people while they're all crowded around me. The only ones that would hear me are the ones right next to me." So what does he do? He finds a boat and climbs into it. He thinks, at least if I can get away from the people a little bit, I can talk to them more, I could talk to them more easily. So he climbs into Simon's boat. Now I want you to use your imaginations a little bit here. Imagine you are Simon Peter. You've been fishing all night with your brother. You're exhausted. You've caught nothing, so you're feeling down as well. And here you are, you're washing your nets. All you want to do is go back home and get to bed. But you've got to wash your nets. You have to wash your nets for the next night's fishing in the hope that you'll actually catch something in the next evening. Along comes this rabbi. He says, "Hello, Simon. I'm going to jump in your boat. Can you push out a little bit and let me preach to these people?" Now, what are you going to say? "Hey, get out of my boat." But he doesn't, does he? He actually does what the Lord asked him to do. And I'd looked at this story initially. I thought, why? Why does he do that? And then I realized, reading back through the beginning of the gospel, it's not the first time that Peter's come across the Lord at all. In fact, Jesus has been to his house. And if you read earlier on in the gospel, you'll find that he's healed his mother-in-law in his house. So Peter has already, Simon, I should call him Simon, shouldn't I? Has already come across Jesus. He knows the type of preacher that he is. He's seen miracles. But he's not yet dropped everything to follow him. And I want you to hold that thought for a little while as we go into this. I'd love to know what Simon's actually doing while Jesus is preaching. Does he carry on washing his nets? Or does he actually stay in the boat with him and listen to what he's saying? Or maybe he listens to him while he's washing his nets. Who knows? But he launches out and lets Jesus preach. Now, Jesus finishes preaching. And then he says to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and put your nets down again." If I was Simon, I would think, "Jesus, you're a great preacher. You do great miracles. And I know you're a carpenter, but you certainly ain't no fisherman. A, you don't fish during the daytime because the fish are more active at night and they can't see your nets." The nets look something like that. They were quite visible to the fish in daylight. "And B, you don't go out in the deep to fish. There's far more fish in the shallows." So what does he say? Does he say, "Jesus, you really don't know what you're talking about"? "Yeah, I'm a fisherman, you're the preacher. Yeah, leave it at that, eh?" No, he actually pushes out into the deep and does what he's asked. And I find that is a fantastic miracle in itself, a miracle of faith on Simon's part. And the more I looked into this story, the more I admired Simon for what he does and for the way that he follows Jesus' commands. Have you ever felt that God is asking you to do something which is so stupid, you can't be hearing it right? Surely God doesn't want you to go to this alcoholic who sits on the bench all day and is out of his mind. Doesn't want you to befriend him, lead him to the Lord. Surely God doesn't want you to talk to that woman who's just about ruined your career and pray peace over her because she's going through a hard time. Surely God doesn't want you to talk to so-and-so about the Lord because it's too embarrassing and anyway, it'd be a waste of time. Sometimes God asks us to do things that are so, seem so silly, so stupid. But yet if you hear from the Lord, you need to do something. You need to go through with it. And it takes faith and it's hard. A couple of weeks ago, Phil gave a sermon, and he said, "When we are at our weakest, God gives us strength. God works through our brokenness." And he said that if we do God's will, it won't necessarily be easy. In fact, it's likely to be tough. You remember saying this? And he gave the example of his family's experience moving to Stabekk when he was called to be our vicar. Phil heard from the Lord and he's gone through with it, and it's not been easy. But out of God's abundance, he will be rewarded, and so will his family. So back to the story. Put yourself in Simon's shoes, or well, sandals probably. What would you have done if Jesus had asked you to go out into the deep and fish? He could have said, look, I've just washed my nets. I'm exhausted. I just want to go home, get some sleep before I go out fishing again tonight. But he didn't. Somehow, he had the faith to do what Jesus asked him. And maybe he'd actually seen something in Jesus and knew a little of the abundance from the Lord. And sometimes we have to understand that what God's asking us to do might seem impossible for us, but in God's strength we can do it. And in fact, a lot of times God asks us to do something that is impossible for us so that he can show his strength through us, because it's not our strength that allows us to do it, it's his. What I find really intriguing in this story is that as soon as he gets this catch of fish, he suddenly realizes God's abundance, and he admits his sin and his unworthiness. And it's like coming into the presence of something or someone so powerful, you suddenly realize how little you are. Yeah. He goes out into the deep. He catches this great lot of fish. He's suddenly presented with the abundance of God, and he can't cope with it. Who am I, a sinner? And it's like that sometimes when you step out in faith, you see God working, and suddenly you think, is this really me? Is God really working through me? Who am I? And yet that's exactly what God wants to do. He wants to work through you and me. Not in our own strength necessarily, although we have talents that he's given us, but in his strength. A little while back I asked you to hold a thought. Simon had heard Jesus teach and seen him performing miracles, but he hadn't yet dropped everything to follow him. Now he's confronted with this fantastic miracle. What's he going to do? Try and put yourself in Simon's sandals again. Here's a great miracle man and teacher, someone whose reputation is growing rapidly, who performs these miracles, who has crowds of people around him. And he's provided you with a huge catch of fish. Remember, he hadn't caught anything in the previous night, but now he's got this huge catch of fish. So much so that he's had to call on his partners to come and get their boat out, and they've caught fish as well, and they've all come back to shore. What do you do? Right, let's go down the market and sell the fish. This is going to be the best income we've had for a long time. This will keep us happy for quite a while. But Jesus says, follow me. Jesus has, if you like, he's repaid Peter for the loan of the boat with this great abundance of fish. So here we have this physical abundance from the Lord. But he says, follow me. Because what Jesus wants to give Simon Peter, is also spiritual abundance. It amazes me that Simon actually did drop everything and follow Jesus. And you have to think, why? Why? He's just got this great catch of fish. Well, in those days, when you went to school, when you started at school, you started learning the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, and you learnt them off by heart, or at least the best scholars did. And if you couldn't do that, well, you went on to learn a trade, and normally it's the trade of your father. And so with Jesus, it would have been carpentry, except, well, we don't know too much about Jesus' early life. With Simon, of course, it was fishing. Now, the best of the students then went on to learn the rest of what we call the Old Testament, the rest of the scriptures. And if they managed that, they were the best of the best. And rabbis who knew their scriptures would go around teaching and interpreting them, and they would call on the best of the best to be their followers, their disciples, and to go around with them and teach the people their interpretation of the scriptures. Jesus was a rabbi. He was recognized as such. And yet he didn't call the best of the best to be his disciples. Here he is calling Simon Peter, an uneducated fisherman. And later on he calls others, like tax collectors and, you know, various other people who weren't the best of the best. He just broke with convention completely, and we see it time and time again in the Gospels. Jesus called on Simon to be his disciple. Simon, it must have come as an incredible shock to him. How can I, an uneducated fisherman, follow, be a disciple of this great rabbi? And it's when you understand that that you realize why he was able just to drop everything and follow Jesus. Because here is, well, he didn't recognize him as the Son of God at that time, but here is someone so powerful in his preaching and the miracles that he's showing, and he's asking me, little old me, to follow him. That's wonderful. Now, just have a look around people next to you and behind you and so on. Because we are God's, Jesus' disciples. He has called us to follow him. Now, I don't know if anyone here thinks they're the best of the best. I certainly don't. But it's a great privilege to be asked to follow Jesus. We are his disciples. And he has an abundance to give us. All right, that's Jesus with his bunch of disciples, the rabble. Certainly not the best of the best. But Jesus has an abundance to give us, not only physically, but spiritually. And with Simon Peter, we saw on the day of Pentecost that when he spoke, this uneducated fisherman, when he spoke, 3,000 men were saved on that day. Today's challenge from this passage, I believe, is for us to listen to God and to do his will. And it probably won't be easy. Beck, Phil's wife, said a couple of weeks ago that she thought she'd heard from the Lord that we should go out and do it. I'm hoping I'm saying this correctly. We should talk to people in the shops. We should ask someone if they're okay. It doesn't need to be a big thing, but it needs to be something. We need to listen for God's voice. Every day, through the day, what's he asking us to do? How's he asking us to behave? And he will give you all that you need to do what he's asking you out of his abundance. Sometimes he calls us out of our own you know, our present employment to work full time for him, like he did with Simon. Sometimes he just wants us to live transformed lives where we are, in our own employment or at home looking after the children or whatever. He did that with Zacchaeus and with the Roman centurion. He didn't ask them to drop what they were doing and follow him. Live out their lives following him as they are. Because the people that we come in contact with every day of our lives are our mission field. Sometimes he calls us out to do an important task, and other times it might just be more mundane. And it doesn't really matter whether he's calling you to give up work and go out to the mission field, or whether he's asking you to make teas and coffees, visit the lonely, give of your money, or maybe even just spend time in prayer for people. Jesus can turn our most humble act into something far more impressive, into a net-breaking, boat-sinking miracle. So however he's calling you, whatever he's asking you to do, do it, and he will reward you out of his great abundance. Amen.